This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, November 12,
2009. It is now 4:43. The meeting will now be called to order. Call it, Young.
Not excused.
Here. Yeah, oh, here.
Here. Unexcused.
Here.
Unexcused.
Rat.
Here.
Rat.
Yes.
Rat.
Here.
Here.
Here. Excuse.
Okay, now we're going to be moving on to open microphone. If there's anyone in the audience who wishes to speak about something that is currently not on the agenda, please step forward. Does anyone have any questions for Nighthawk? All right, thanks for stopping by. And now we're going to move on to approval of the minutes. They were sent out to you through email. Are there any motions?
Motion to accept the minutes.
There's been a call for acclamation and there's been a second. Is there any defense? Okay, the minutes have been approved. Moving on to announcements and reports, my office hours will be this Saturday. I'm moving them up early because of an elections committee meeting, so they will be from 10 to 12 in Live Cafe on Saturday. We also have an ID Council update from Representative Hortel.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm
going to
postpone the ID Council update until next week. I'm going to do a short presentation about ID Council that occurs this weekend.
Great.
It wasn't
accepted, so. Yeah, and I really want to commend Representative Rotella because he really set the bar for the other Ivy League schools that were looking up to our Ivy Council and looking for advice on how they can get theirs eventually up to our level. So thanks for that. B.B. Andrews has a communication system. Okay.
Repeat the address.
Repeat the address, the URL.
The blog page is cornell.wordpress.com and Twitter is twitter.com/cornell. And I just added everybody's picture and their candidate profile on the blog on the second page. And
the picture's a goal.
Everybody here is on the contributor. So you all get, you know, your own like little picture, you get to post, you know, whatever you want to write. Like, apparently, the first topic is the appropriate the decision on Cornell Cinema, and then Ulysses is our supposed to be a his view on Cornell Cinema appropriation. So, definitely not the truth.
Representative Young.
So this website related to the innovation community's website, that was correctly?
Yeah, so I'm working with the innovation committee with TV and Matt, and Mike Kaplan helps build the website, and the goal is to create content for the website before the website becomes live, so that when this website becomes live, we incorporate everything that has already occurred.
So this blog for that website is
very difficult. Yeah, but the goal is just to create, you know, chatter already in some positions before the website.
So this blog is now from Cornell.
No, yeah, well, it's WordPress, so it's not on the Cornell server or anything like that. We have to go to WordPress.com or Cornell.sa.wordpress.com.
I was just curious if we'd be allowed to machine our pictures.
All right, Representative McCluddy.
Is this a place for rationales that are currently on the site, and is there going to be a link or something? And not on the website?
Yeah, not necessarily, because what's different for rationales is they're on the website. There's more official. You can post the rationale from both places, and it will take the next 2 seconds.
And we'll continue this discussion after President Score and the Vice President Murphy give their address. Welcome. Great. Thank you.
reviewing the tax court report. This is a very important time for the campus. There's a lot of information out there for designing how you have taken on that assignment by dividing up responsibility, going back to look at full report and summary. Everybody can see all of the summary online, but with the meat of the matter is project report. And I would just also call your attention to Brian Baden, which is in the panel conversation that are being had on these topics as well. Because you may not be assigned to the report, but maybe you have 1 hour on the topics. Not all of the reports are going to be hundreds of cross-cutting, but I think it's a great example of how you can take this responsibility. Look forward to what you have to say. This is another one for which I have some responsibility to the student services, but also the student enrollment.
One more comment. I noticed on the agenda, it reminds me that it says semi-annual presence visit. So, given the very unusual, unprecedented circumstances in the university, I will be responsible, you know, the vice president Murphy will be more than the work frequently. We do have periodic meetings in student leadership, and I'm in contact, of course, with the Drummond and the EDO and other members on a variety of issues, but I am used to this.
All right, thanks. Of course, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules. I know you just came from Asia, and I hope, you know, there are many other opportunities for this. I'm sure it helps for people to be able to recognize you when they see you walking around on campus to see you in person. We'll now open up the speakers list. First up is VP Kumar.
Great. I also want to thank both of you and Dean Hubble, as always, for being here. I had a question. So we got an email from your office today regarding one of the two of the resolutions that the student assembly has. So I just wanted to kind of ask you about that. I'm specifically concerned about the housing resolution 13, which called for restructuring of the housing lottery. It seemed like there were two rationales that you brought forward when you asked us to reconsider this. The first was the implementation timeline. I guess, there was some concern about implementing it this year, which is, obviously completely understandable. The second rationale was the fact that, campus life seemed to think that restructuring in this way would actually lead to less demand for student housing. I just wanted to kind of get more feedback from you about exactly how we can go about revising this, to get, I guess, your approval.
I think that, it's really important to make sure that the student assembly understands how such a change will play out. As you know, the president can say three things when he gets direct resolution from the SA, which is yes, no, or reconsider. And because of the timing, which is going to delay it this year, it seems that the most formal and appropriate way to recommend that you reconsider it, which is not denying it at all, but to say there's a pieces here, let's just make sure the assembly can't slide it down the homework together. Given our increasing enrollment, what happens to sophomores go first? Will there be any that is juniors and seniors? That's one option. What happens if there's discussion now about extending continued occupancy to college time as well as the West Campus and the program after what they've had it before? How will that mean the juniors and seniors? If the sophomores don't take all of it, take better days, what happens when you get the first numbers? Will juniors and seniors fill the rest of what we find ourselves in together? We just want, frankly, to partner with you to make sure we go through that planning scenario and have a joint understanding. And I think once that's there, whether that will revise what we propose it or not, at least it's at that point we can say, okay, both campus and student assembly have done the planning together. We can meet the student's interest and the business needs of campus life. Let's get that together and get back in the spring and plenty of time so that everybody knows next year
it's going to
be
fun. Okay, great. We're planning to meet, I think, tomorrow to move forward on this, so looking forward to that.
And I'm sorry for those who are no way to check.
Representative.
I want to thank you, Brother Corbin, for coming today. It's definitely a privilege for us to be able to ask some questions directly. So, just one question that we're managing for now, and specifically the restructuring of the student office. So, right now, the Dean for LGBTQ Student Affairs and the Office of Student Support and Diversity Education has been frozen. And so, I was wondering, first, will it ever be unfrozen? And then, two, how will the student support be strengthened coming
years, considering the restructuring going on with the students? Okay. I'm going to refer to Susan and Kent, public manager specifics, but I want to say one thing is obvious. And the thing I'm showing is not just rhetoric for you formal setting. The student financial aid, student support, students number zero, are the very, very highest priorities. And next one being faculty hiring, which is like to slow down the budget. And so there's nothing about the resolution that's going to downgrade the priority. Now, maybe that's a joint point to the rest of the system, and I'll ask you to see if you can talk about that.
I don't know if you know yet, if you can ask about the specific answer to your question. You are correct that the way we met our 5% budget cut in the meetings last year was to not fill the vacant position but one, which was the director of the WTRC. I think what we are doing and what we continue to do is to look comprehensively across all of FAS, and I would say all of our colleague David Harris, who deals with Madison University, and try to think not so much of the type of existing position, although that may happen, but rather think, what are the services we need to provide, what are the programs we need to do, and how do we deliver that? And then in that aspect of the needs of the students. So I think we are quite cognizant about trying to meet whether it would be the exact same structures we've had historically. I think it's still an open question. And that requires some good planning, and also we are going to have to live in a different financial world than we have used before. So we want to make sure that if we have it then we don't have it, we can make sure where we have gaps.
Using the CUPD to combat crime, especially since students' fear is on the rise, and it does affect students even if it isn't centrally on Cornell's campus.
Yeah, this is a really, really important problem that we actually get into what the school is doing in the education of 136 hours. It's a very, very serious problem, not only the actual issues themselves, but the uncertainty in the community of not being safe. And one of the reasons the occurred just a block or so from our house. may not say this exactly correctly, excuse me, if you want to help. There are limitations to what the CUPD can do in non-university property and having to work with the Cuba High Sports, for example, and with the city police. And I'm really appointed the chief of CUPD, Catherine Turner, that recently joined us yesterday. And so she understands the environmental regulation associated with CUPD and works very closely. She believes that the CUPD has been able to step up a number of controls, work in a more pointed fashion in collaboration with the municipal, that is both in the case of the village of Cuba Heights and the city and the town. And supply better coverage. And then, of course, some behaviors that we will all have to do. We'll have to be even more careful about how we conduct ourselves and also take advantage of other services that the CUPD can offer. But the ebb and flow in these incidents is of concern. The larger concern in general is to make sure that that partnership among CUPD, those of us on campus just sort of thinking carefully about keeping our wits about us and how we make decisions about where we're going and with the municipal police departments, I think is the way we're going.
A conversation I would really welcome in leadership in the SA, both of myself and Patrick and Chief Sommer, is what can we do to help students understand the resources that are available late at night so that they are adequately used, and how adequate are they to the needs of the students? I mean, we do, quite frankly, get pretty complacent out here, because in general it's really page five. So when I lived in a 330 trip hammer, in Moonsville, I didn't think too much about walking from your library to 330 trip hammer at midnight. By myself or not, well, that's just not a really smart thing to do, I have to say. So, but I think we need to hear from the students about what do you need, what do we have, are you using that, if you aren't using it, don't know about it, how do we get that word out? Because I think it's picking up on what do we need to be able to do.
It's funny that you should say that. I'm actually meeting with CUPD this week to talk to them about that. Eventually, we want to expand the blue light service and get it into libraries, and then hopefully expand it to mobile escort service to bring everyone home.
And now we'll be taking a question from the audience. If there's anyone interested in asking the President or VP Murphy a question. All right. Anyone at all?
No.
Okay, Andrew Boston, go ahead. Give him the mic.
General Screening Committee that you outline here, we accept that structure. Probably if Joe Burns will write down the resolution, probably would be the way to do it, because we would probably want to have the RFC have a vote and have the SA have a vote, but except the fact that the SA will guide that and partner with the RFC, so that's fine.
But I still don't understand who should guide the selection of the students on that committee.
I think what we will do is, in the case of the residence hall, the program houses, would be to work with the SA, but not be solely determined by the SA in terms of those students.
We're going to move on now, just because Stephen Murphy has the plane to catch up. DOE to me.
Thank you so much for coming again. My question has to do with the student deaths that happened, unfortunately, so sadly, on the campus this year, and the way in which, the administration kind of relays that kind of information to students. I know after that student passed away in Dixon, a lot of people I spoke with who were deeply concerned that there was no email sent to the entire university. Later on, we get reading from some families who want a lot of information to kind of be kept, secret, which is obviously we have to respect that. But I was just kind of wondering what your, procedure is for dealing with student deaths and conveying that information to students.
So this is a very important point, and I want to first apologize to anybody for the lack of an email of every single one of these horrible numbers of things that we've witnessed as some sort of lack of sensitivity on my part. In general, has not been to send a campus-wide email on the unfortunate one or two or three occasions where this happens in a community our size. When the short tragic death occurred for H1N1, because of the very, very high anxiety on campus, my own anxiety as a physician about what was going on, I thought it was important to say something to the community. But because of the feedback that we've gotten, because it's become clear to me that, as I've learned a lot from students and from my own son when he was in college, that not everybody will go to a website and dig around to find things. Susan has asked the town group of our communications to develop a protocol, a more consistent protocol for how we will deal with this unfortunate expectation. One thing I don't know, but I'm assuming that we find with you, is to share that protocol in a draft form with the SA. We'll send it to, we'll ask the congress to send it to you. But it's a very important need that we have. And the need has been brought out by the trouble that we think we can have on either from the natural process or other things.
Thank you.
We'll have time for one more question. Representative Mitten.
Hi, thank you for coming again. I actually have two short questions locally. One is in terms of the APC, and how the university is planning on addressing the current term staff at the Center, and if it's recurrent term staff, and we only have one director that's in charge of all the education that we're assuming. And second question involves costs, and I know we have privately funded program, and there's so many Cornell students benefited from that program. I was wondering if the university was trying to figure out the alternatives or the steps the university can take from the responsibility for the program.
Let me just build on what I said in that, because I think it's just an argument that this is what I said. Patricia has brought in resources we haven't had before for the focus, and that is a fabulous thing. It heightens the expectation that we will continue to grow in that focus. And I think the challenge is what I think from that is we have to be careful that we don't do this for one-to-one set. Again, I think what particularly in the first year, when we get through that first year, she'll be able to help us together with the students to say what are the needs that exist, and then where are the many places that we are doing that, how much needs to fit in her position, how much needs to fit, I'll make up something, how much needs to fit in HILC, because of the agency community, and how do they partner so she can see that English piece, and I think right now we don't see that seamlessness very well, in the book and style, and that's just something we're going to have to do differently, because we just are not going to be able to afford to staff up each silo to the extent that any of us might like, and how do we leverage resources. On the top, we are having very active conversations actually with, I don't know how public it looks like it in some public, with the Cornell and Washington program to see if there's a way to build with that existing program that has an existing space and a long tradition an aspect of an urban focus. I mean, if you go to Cornell and Washington, you're often partnered with, you know, one of the federal agencies or the like, that doesn't really address the urban community as the urban community. So Leonardo and Anne Forsyth have been talking with such a question about questions to chair someone on Washington to see if there's a way that we might be able to bring what Tufts had to offer into place with the Cornell and Washington. May not be the summer, maybe we can ask them if you initially we've been quite excited about what might be possible there. So we'll be having a conversation.
Thanks again for your time. As you can see, you know, just the sheer mention of your name has a tremendous impact on the turnout. I'm almost inclined to mention your presence, you know, even when you're not coming out and discuss this with the VZFDR. But yeah, thanks again. And we might have to take you up on your offer, you know.
All right,
thanks. Yeah, so I think we left off at a communications committee update. I don't know.
Does anybody have more questions besides that?
Did I? Okay. Elections committee update, DOPG.
Hey guys, okay, so I think I
cracked
my name for 2010 election rules. So what we're going to do is this Saturday, Rockefeller 183, I believe, to kind of discuss those and write them. Basically, it's the election committee's job to, you know, write them. However, I definitely want to get everyone's input. So the first 45 minutes or hour of the meeting, which would be from 12 to 1, is open to everyone. I know many of you are probably thinking about maybe running in the spring, so you're probably going to have some opinions on this. So please come, I'd love to hear them.
Location of Rockefeller 130.
Yeah, and noon.
Yeah. Healthcare update of Senator Desai.
Yeah, I'm giving you an update on the healthcare thing that I was talking about earlier in the year that's allocating or creating some sort of funding for students who didn't have healthcare in high school and need additional financial funding before now. So we're going to be issued for, I'm going to present your resolution next week for a survey to be issued to the rest of Cornell, just to get some statistics on, you know, how much money is actually going to cost, what are the different options we have, like, you know, can we afford partial funding, can we afford full funding, can we afford no funding at all. So we have the director of financial aid working on the survey to get that to me by Monday, and I'll present the resolution next week. If any of you guys have any ideas or you want to talk to me, be a part of this, and the first time I mentioned it, a couple of you guys showed interest, so if you want to become a part of that, just get in touch with me outside of this and we can work something out.
Any questions? Okay. A CODA update by Representative Phillips.
Oh, what is it?
All right. So the committee on healthcare affairs met yesterday, and we spent most of our time discussing the issue of where transfers will be housed for the upcoming 2010-2011 school year, which we believe to be our most pertinent issue at this time. Currently, there are over 100 transfers being housed in Skyler House, which is located in North Ellistown. However, the university has informed us that for the upcoming school year, Skyler House will house returning up We are also looking at converting entire horizontal glass to transfer housing. But with that said, we can build more residents so we can be more fully aware of the university's plan for housing transfers. So I previously set up a meeting with the director of the residential program, Jim Burke, to discuss this issue. However, due to unfortunate circumstances, Mr. Burke has taken an extended medical leave. So I've already contacted a temporary replacement, Barbara Romano, to discuss this issue. So hopefully by the end of the next week, I'll have Mr. Romano. We'll have a much better idea of where transfer is and how to choose. Thank you.
Any questions? Representative Brown.
Thanks. I think this is kind of the direction that the regulatory committee is moving in. And we talked about these issues last week. So if you wouldn't mind, that's up to a free Tuesday, 4:30, come and talk to us.
Yep, I've already given the heads up. I'll make that meeting.
Thanks.
Representative.
Even though you're right, I'm talking to the big committee. This is a red light. Also, the advocacy committee on RRT, that's going to be.
Okay, we have an internal operations update by VP Kumar.
Okay, just two quick things. First of all the attendance from last month has been posted on our website. So just double check and make sure all the attendance is right. If it's not, let me know, because if you have three consecutive absences or six total, we have to sort of go through. The second part is the task force report, which hopefully all of you got emails from me about. We've gone through and assigned each of you to a task force that I think sort of reflects, what your position is on that day. So if you could just go through those reports, we sent a template out too. As VP Murphy said, this is an incredibly important task, so I urge you all to take this really seriously. And I guess just the final thing is many committee chairs have had meetings in the last week or 2 weeks. Just give a quick update now.
Do you want to? Okay.
Yeah, please.
All right, well, I'll give a quick time update. Okay, standing up meetings past Wednesday, yesterday. Actually, a couple of the assembly did attend, and they were pretty much blown away by how our committee operates. Very exciting to invite all of you guys to attend our next meeting. Our next meeting is December 2nd at 1 before West. Be pretty exciting. As well, guiding committee is broken up into two task force. We have a marketing committee as well as a pricing committee. The pricing committee for much of the different guiding options is going to be meeting on Wednesday in the IG room, so let me know if you're interested in that. And then marketing is to be announced. Let me know if you guys are interested in that. We definitely need a lot of support in marketing. Guiding is really looking to the students to make sure that all of Cornell dining is to be fairly marketed.
And the time on December 2nd?
Oh, 4:30. Yeah, sorry. It's 4:30 to 6.
Okay, great. Red Light, you have something?
Yeah, Red Light, since the last 2 weeks, basically we're working towards now the implementation of Resolution 15 and accompanying things like that. So, if you know anybody who's interested in these matters of residential life, tell them to fill out the application. It should be on the SA website under Red Light. And we're going to try to run some ads, look at things like that. Like that. And also, now we're
going
to try to address the issue
again.
We got off the post our giving down issues where apparently most of the members weren't getting given. So far, we've been working on cannabis policy. And basically, it looks pretty okay. So, if anyone in the community has anything that they want to ask,
campus safety update.
Okay, so as I said before, I'm the chair of this issue committee, and me and Kristen have been working extensively with our committee as well as DCD. We basically raised $650 to do a campaign to raise awareness of the blue light program, and we're also currently working with DPD and hopefully administration like DC Murphy to get a mobile escort service on campus. So that's like the way we're going. And next meeting I'm going to present you with a survey that you guys approved and that data, because there's actually a lot of interesting data on that that can really fuel what we're going to be doing. So if anyone has questions or if anyone wants to bring concerns to the CPD, I'm going to be meeting with them next week. So just come tell me and I'll bring them on the phone.
Any questions or comments for Brad? Or somebody?
Can you show how to use the blue light on hot weather or somewhere? Nobody dare to touch it. But come on, my friends, is that they don't dare to touch it if they think the place will come. But if they want to know how to use their juice, now they need to show them.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. We're actually, part of our money is actually going to be going towards campaigning on the north as well as the central campus and passing out blue light lollipops as well as having blue light escort service and the campus police talking to students, and you can ask them all those questions. And we're also going to be passing out flyers, and we'll be sure to put stuff on that, like how to use the system. So that's a really good question.
Great. And now we have an update from the Ithaca Students Ambassador to Qatar and the ISD President-elect, Al Miller.
Thank you. I want to apologize for the update a little bit over to you. I had a couple of things I had to take care of. But now I'm taking care of so I guess to start off with, things have been going really, really well so far. We've had two video conferences with the students in the car. The first was a live wake-up for one of their international patrons. They invited a whole bunch of students to come and participate in the total kickoff event. And then this morning, actually, myself, three other students, and a couple, actually, a video woke up to the conference with a bunch of foundation students. We're kind of like freshmen in Qatar, and they were really excited. They were able to power on presentation to them, and they just wanted to write, which was really cool. So in terms of the actual projects that we're working on now, they're starting up tomorrow, the Ithaca Qatar program on their end. So we have one here this summer, but in anticipation of getting some students there in the summer, they're starting up too. We're getting funding for that, and it's been pretty cool. We also have a couple of students who are, so the first year is not going to be a formal student ambassador. There's actually going to be three students who are all kind of working together. And those are Khan Almana, Mana Mujibi, and Zeman Zintala, whom I all met this summer, and they're all great students. So if you have any questions, directly to me, I can forward them on these three individuals. In terms of the academic exchange program that we're working on, what we're looking at right now, doing a one-to-one swap between our campus and the campus. So it's going to take a little time to develop that. So we're working on looking at the curriculum and some credits and how the tuition and all that will translate. So just stay tuned for that. We've been meeting with Susan Murphy, Alex Bell, and Dr. David Ramachand for this program. And they've been very, very supportive thus far. Finally, I participated on a trustee panel called Very Voices during the trustee weekend, and they liked the program a lot. They were very, very supportive, and looking pretty good. So hopefully we'll see some more interactions coming years and build sentiments there and make this a little university of the community. To do research, during a semester or a year there.
he referred here to draw on from which they're undergraduate education. So I think the students involved need to be graduated from the trivial problem.
Thank you. I guess I'd like to open the floor to questions for Arnie.
Any questions for Al? Okay. Thanks for presenting.
Thank you.
Yep. We have a United Way update from Max Beck.
Hello, everyone. Okay, so the committee does a meeting every week. So these are previous week's numbers dated 11/03/2009. And we've been making great progress. That week, we have raised, including an anonymous gift, $117,175. Now that is 1 week. And the total pledges to date are $375,549.22. The percentage of that to our $725,000 goal is 51.8%. So we're definitely making some progress on that front. And the numbers have increased since that day. One item that I brought up during the meeting, it seems as though, basically, the phenomenon of restructure.
So currently, they're looking for one student to align with each college. Is that the case?
It would be a benefit to them. They agree that it would provide a lot of help. And we've also moved around, having come up with a resolution for the first day of the room, but we came up with a resolution for beginning student work that said that, you know, we can kind of come up with a resolution about it behind the scenes to make it official. Like they said, have the students involved in the community. So,
and until when will you be collecting money?
We have collected through March of last year.
And already you've reached 51% of your target. I think we should clap it up. Okay, BBIG.
Yeah, so if you need help, I'm the ILR rep. Let me know. Also, ILR has an amazing asset. It's the only school that has a student government association. So Heather Levy sitting back there is an awesome contact to know for ILR, and I'm sure she'd be willing to help you out from the United Way drive. But also get in touch with me, and we'll figure something out.
Great.
Any other questions for Max? Representative Smith.
Just something to point out, I work at the Department of Middle Funding, which actually is actually a telemarketing. So we call we raise support for our community. We know we raise support for our community. And a lot of people that I talk to in the home about it, they want to give, and they want to use the scholarships, or they want to give to maybe it seems like we have a way to help actual other people to do this nonprofit thing. But so I would suggest that you talk to somebody who is supporting an annual fund to see if you can get something out on there, because we can actually ask them where they want to take their money to, so to get a little on there for them to actually allocate them to the United Way, if you have to be able to raise something from alumni, just so that I
can.
I just want to say, Stephanie Riccioni, one of the head MCs for the annual fund, in the audience, so if you want to tell her, she can tell.
Who's not in the audience today?
Thank you.
What? Who's not in the audience?
Okay. All right, thanks for the update, Mark. Moving on to Appropriations Committee allocations by VP Baker.
All right, so hopefully we can hand these out and start with computation in a few minutes. You all have in front of you, I guess we'll start with Outdoor Odyssey. Outdoor Odyssey was previously funded at $1. They requested $2, and the Appropriations Committee recommended $1.50. The Appropriations Committee had two basic goals, I guess, with increasing funding for Outdoor Odyssey. First, I guess, was generally to increase the number of people who were able to go on Outdoor Odyssey trips. And second, the committee felt very strongly that part of the Outdoor Odyssey's increase should go towards creating some kind of need-based assistance for students to be able to go to go on Outdoor Odyssey trips if they couldn't otherwise afford it. So those are definitely things I think that we'll be considering putting in Appendix B in the spring. The rest of the rationale, I guess, is there in front of you. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Renil? I'm not aware of any other pre-orientation programs other than Post or Outdoor Odyssey. I guess that's what it is.
Is there like any reason that Outdoor Odyssey gets funding from us and Post doesn't?
Post has requested funding.
Okay.
Any other questions or motions?
Call for acclamation.
Call for acclamation. Second?
Second.
Any dissent? All right, seeing none, Outdoor Odyssey is approved at $1.50. Next, the Student Assembly filing funding request. The Student Assembly was previously funded at $2.95. The Assembly requested a decrease in funding to $2.45, and the Appropriations Committee recommended funding them at that amount. As you can see, I guess, on the rationale, two things. Some committee members said that for the Assembly's committees, the allocation of $200 for expenses per committee was too much. Other comments surrounded our expenses around Ivy Council. As excellent a program as it is, committee members felt we should explore spinning that off into an SAFC-funded group or SAFC-registered and funded group. Those are sort of the ideas surrounded by the committee. Any other questions or comments? Yeah.
Yes, first of all, I just want to commend Chris Basil for putting together this budget. The Student Assembly was one of two groups to request lower funding, which I think, you know, in this climate, I think it's a very responsible thing to do, and I think you did a great job of identifying areas where we can streamline, where we can cut, and I think it's really great that they are looking for less money. The other thing is, you know, it's good because right now we have a sort of a higher special projects fund. So I think, you know, the new budget will sort of streamline committee practices and lead to a smaller special projects fund, which I think, you know, in the long term is a good thing. So I'll go ahead and motion for a hand vote on accepting this.
Second.
There's been a motion to a hand vote and a second. So all those in favor of the Appropriations Committee decision, please raise your hands. Have 19. All those against?
Understand.
And abstentions? 1. All right, 19 to 0 to 1, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so that funding decision passed.
All right, next we're going to club insurance. Club insurance is funded pretty much 50-50 by both the Office of Risk Management and the assemblies. Club insurance is something that protects all independent registered student organizations from liability as well as personal injury. And I think the policy is up to $5 million per incident. So it's a very generous policy. and covers essentially all students for anything we do in terms of student activities. So the appropriations committee recommended full funding at $4.70. And that increase, the club insurance requested from $450 to $470, was based on essentially a combination of just inflation and also them having to seek a policy of higher premiums. Their previous policy was canceled. So any questions? Other questions or comments? Call for acclamation, second. Is there any dissent? All right, seeing none, club insurance is passed at $470.
For what? Two-thirds for public. And now we'll be moving on to business of the day, the convocation student activity fee discussion. Heather Levy and anyone else who's in the You'll have 5 minutes to just present. Yeah. We'll open up this speaker's list, VP Andrews.
All right, so Nikhil and I asked to table this resolution a few weeks ago, our acceptance, because we wanted to look into a few options concerning ticketing and administrative support. We spoke with Dean Hubble a few times on this issue. And we've spoken with other administrators, and so ticketing is still an option for if you want to bring above, let's say, 5 people to convocation, you'd have to purchase a ticket for a certain sum. And we'd really like to continue to explore these other sources of revenue for convocation. McGill and I are both on the convocation committee, Dan Davis. And so through that committee, that's why we actually said we spoke with Chris Basil and said it's okay to bring this off or back onto the table because we're going to continue exploring that road through the convocation committee. In regards to the increase in funding, I feel like convocation has had some good speakers in the past. I know this last year wasn't the most popular speaker, but I heard there's some external reasons for why they got this person. We've had awesome speakers in the past with less allocation. And so I feel like we should challenge the convocation committee to continue their good work on the 25% increase that they have, especially within these financial times. And I think that this is a completely discretionary increase without, cutting the funds on the administrative side. It's just an increase of an allocation, which I don't think would be very popular or a good policy for the center.
Okay. So essentially the whole concept of ticketing is kind of ridiculous because all you're doing is you're taking money that families are paying as tuition covered under financial aid over 4 years, and you're replacing that with money that families are paying day of. So the whole idea is that it's a one-to-one swap. So all that you've done is you've essentially shifted the burden on families who would otherwise have need-based coverage for that part of tuition, and you shifted it to everyone who's attending convocation. So really, I think that this whole argument about ticketing is ridiculous, because by letting the university assume the cost through the student activity fee, we're allowing a need-based adjustment essentially to be made that you can't make when you charge everyone 50 cents or a dollar, $5 or $10 over five family members. And I don't think that we also want to make families limit the number of people that they're bringing to convocation. I don't want that to be a calculation where you're saying to yourself, okay, we could bring seven, but we're not going to bring 10 because it's a little too expensive. They can watch on webcam, you know, online in the hotel room. And so, I mean, I think that basically from the gist of what you guys are sort of saying about the whole ticketing argument, you recognize that convocation needs more than 750, and to have a great continuing convocation event 2 years from now, convocation needs an allocation higher than $7.50, or $7.75. But that you're essentially want to shift the burden in a way that I don't think is fair. So I definitely recommend that the assembly reconsider the convocation recommendation 25 cents higher.
So currently the Appropriations Committee approves to fund that $7.75, so VP Bayes' recommendations would be to increase that to $8. Did you have something to
say?
Also, if anyone from the audience had something to say, just raise your hand, I'll acknowledge you. VP Kumar.
Don't shut up, Chris, make a clever argument like that. The whole idea of, you know, we've been talking about shifting the burden from the university to the students. It's certainly an interesting point, but I have to take issue with the idea that this is a one-to-one swap, you know, from the student activity to families. This is a one-to-one swap for students going to convocation, which is about a quarter of students that graduate. You know, I think the important thing is that, first of all, this allows the university to collect revenue from, you know, townspeople who don't have, you know, children here who don't pay student activity fee, to collect a few, you know, extra dollars from them. So, yeah, I mean, it is a burden shifting for some people, but I think that's a better idea than, you know, shifting burden to the entire undergraduate student population. You know, and the other idea about ticketing is, the whole idea of need-based, you know, certainly it's a good argument to make, and we can explore that in the spring. But basically what I think Vince and I are saying is that we tabled this discussion for a couple of weeks because we wanted to make sure that the committee had gone through all its options. And what we're doing is we're coming back and saying, yes, we think the committee made the right decision. So we're totally in support of what the committee decided, and, you know, I completely support the 775 recommendation of the Appropriations Committee.
Representative Nicholas.
I'm sorry, but I'm actually going to have to agree with Amy Basil on this one. I think that we nickel and dime a little bit too much here at Cornell, and to ask parents who have paid for their kids to go to school here for 4 years and then have them pay for graduation to be a little too much. And I think that families too repulsed by that issue as well. At the end of the day, obviously, we don't want to pay more than we have to, and that the administration would like to set the cap. But we're faced where we either have to fund them, or we have to take the consequences, because it seems like the administration really won't budge on this issue. And so I'm in favor of a higher allocation than that was given by the Appropriations committee. One question I have for Heather. How do you think about the universities? Obviously, you know, other universities previously have great teachers and they're going to get the president to come and speak. How can they fund the university give a lot more of a contribution than the students?
I can only answer from the experience that I have from another university. The only other guy who had
for many schools, they get an honorary degree. That's kind of a reward. And we don't offer that here. But many schools have an interesting background and documentation.
Can I just ask a point of information?
Sure.
So do you give out tickets in case it goes indoor? Oh, it's awesome.
Yes, we do. We have a great container where we can tickets for person. And that is the top of the complicated.
Zero agent.
I definitely am very anti-ticketing as well. And I think it's 100% tacky. I think it makes it kind of, I mean, I like to think that Cornell is a personal kind of community, and I think if you're telling people they can only, you know, bring home 4 or 5 people. I mean, I know I'm so big, I have a Polish family, I want everyone to be there, and I think it would just be so awkward and have people paying and everything. I don't know. I just think that, you know, it just makes it a nice warmer event to keep it. I think that makes it feel kind of like a show, and it's not just a few shows, it's supposed to be kind of like a special day for students.
Representative.
I'm asking about the ticketing idea. I think it's interesting that you mentioned that it's important to go there. I think one of the reasons why that is that maybe you don't have enough funds to really be competitive enough to actually get some more great speakers. And I think by tackling out something like ticketing, it would decrease dependency even more so. I think competition is a great program, and I think it's going to expand to attract a lot more students. We need to be competitive on the learning that we can offer, which is why I'm often able to.
Do you want to take 30 seconds?
Just to give you a differentiation. So 2007, 2009, there were about 10,000 people who attended competition. And you can look at the speakers. They are the flashy speakers. Last year, President Wilson came in, and it was over 5,000.
Okay, Representative Brown.
Yeah, I understand where Ricky Basil and Representative Nicoletti and others are with the whole ticketing issue. It is really kind of unfair, but I mean, on that note, it's your child's graduation. If you have 7 or 10 people coming, you're going to be paying for a hotel room for a night, a couple hotel rooms, what's another, you know, $5 times 7 people, child's graduation. Also, I mean, look, if you look at the list of past competition teachers, I said this again, the whole ticketing problem, you know, there's a bunch of students who have not been here, David Plus, Martin Luther King III, Senator Weston Clark, President Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, Janet Reno, Chuck Schumer, and Burger King Olbermann for the last 10 years, namely conservatives, who don't want to hear them speak. So, you know, I think it's kind of fair that absolutely not make a change to something they don't want to hear.
We're now finished with the first speaker's list, unless someone who hasn't spoken. Oh, Representative Bender.
I just want to say that I'm in support of the ticketing idea. One of the numbers that was brought up was that 10,000 tickets cost $2,500 to print. If you sold each ticket for $5, and let's say you're not selling half of those tickets because there are 300 students who are let's say you're only selling 5,000 tickets. In order to get that up to $20,000, that only takes each ticket cost $4. If each ticket costs $5, you pay $5,000. If each ticket costs $6, you pay $10,000. It's not like ticketing will lead to an automatic loss. I'd also just like to say that things can be taken into account for financial aid, so you're not necessarily putting it on the balance. Also, it should be noted that if we increase the student activity fee, then
families are paying this cost anyhow. It's just spread out over 4 years rather than put on one day. And if I only bring 5 people with me to consultation, then I have to pay more of the activity fee than I would otherwise if I wasn't going to need to buy any tickets. So that's why I'm supporting the ticket I do.
Heather, you can
respond. Yeah, just to clarify, that's not how much cost to print the tickets. Those are just the administrative fees. So even if you were to do an online put on monster tickets, the way you buy tickets print by yourself, that's just $1 fee just to buy tickets online and maybe put up or your credit card. Not how many fees associated that range 3.5% to 5.5% from the asset to credit card charges you that you have to pay. And then also does not count the logistics of getting to work actually and making the tickets to the event. It doesn't count the $1,000 it would cost to get the personnel there to collect the tickets. So it's 25 cents per scan and per ticket to validate that the tickets are real. This past week, the scanner stopped working, so then what happens is you can validate the tickets. We have to pull in the future moment. It's really important to remember that the cost of ticketing and admission is not just how much cost to administer the ticket, but also how much cost to validate it.
Point of information, do they have a ticketing policy in case it rains?
Do you have a ticketing policy in case it rains?
If it rains, it's 2 tickets, and then one ticket for the graduate, and one ticket for whoever they choose to give it to in March, and then there are other venues talking at it, so we're looking to see the remake of the event. I also just want to clarify something that Chris Basil made earlier. The webcast is really expensive and is therefore not done unless you're doing a special content. So it's not like you can sit in a hotel and watch from home. If you are
unable there,
you have to watch it.
Okay.
So, yeah,
it's
free action. No streaming. You can't
necessarily
watch it if you are
at the
event, especially
when. Representative Desai. I have the strong support behind this, President Basil. As far as taking a day of the principles, people don't remember the numbers, we end up changing as well. I mean, I heard someone say, they don't know how to take it until their senior year, there's somebody to get there. I do feel that it's something that we should actually, sort of pitch in towards. I don't know how official this is or anything, but I know a lot of schools are judged as far as graduation by the value of the communication speaker. I know certain schools get a lot lower, mainstream fees for having a good speaker. I know the fact that the status of speaker last year has an effect on people wanting to come here, like, people who speakers here, when people are deciding what they're called. And I think that's one more effect that people would think, especially, being a freshman last year, that actually was like a thing that people talked about. So I think it's important, I have no problem, shipping in. I think my chosen day was asking for a quarter more.
Yeah.
I have no problem shipping in, a quarter, even a dollar more a year until I graduate. I don't think it's the idea that of how much the ticket would cost. Someone said it's $5. I think it's the idea that, your parents and your family are showing up for convocation and they're here and excited. I mean, no one's going to be like, oh, it's $5, I'm not going to go out with some graduate. It's just the idea that you want to make this I told them they're already paying for their hotel room and their plane tickets. I mean, I just think it'd be easier to, whatever you can do to make the weekend smoother and easier for the parents, it should be done. I'm all for putting it on a weekend.
Dear Adrian.
Okay, so I just have a random question for her. So if it rains, you only get one ticket, do you have to like take a parent? So, oh wow, okay. How is that?
I just have a point of clarification that we're not voting in ticketing. Michiel and I are both on the complication committee, so whether we vote for high allocation or not, we're still looking at the ticketing policy. Right now we're voting on the allocation. So do we want to tax students more, especially considering that if, let's say, we do a 5-person ticketing to bring it back up, you're paying, if you bring less than that, you're actually saving you money in the end. Are we going to tax students more? Have we been able to get speakers, for a decent amount? And will $10,000 mean the difference between, a world-class speaker or a Davis Plus? And I I don't think that $1,000 in the grand scheme of things is going to be very much important.
Point of information.
Yeah. So.
Just want to clarify the request, because I got a little lost in the back and forth. The original request was for 1050.
From 750?
From 750. The appropriations committee recommended 775.
Yeah.
So now the question is whether we overturn
So like with Cornell Cinema, there's going to be two votes. We'll first vote to approve or disapprove, and that's a two-thirds vote, which is 15, I believe.
Yeah.
Then we'll discuss a new number and we'll vote down from highest to lowest.
Okay.
Yeah.
To
So most likely, like in the spring, we have appendix B changes. So you know, a lot of the changes will be coming through this week.
It's been a rubber up.
Personally, I think that complication is important. It's not only determined like the reputation of our rules, but also I want to see the speakers. That's just personal. And it's a, we're talking about $1 in 4 years that you're here extra, and like Representative Nicolay said, kind of taking people like nickel and dime for the reputation of our school and just our overall enjoyment. That being said, I don't think that the this whole ticketing matter should really be taken into account while we're voting, because it really doesn't, we don't know whether it's going to happen or not. So I think we need to just vote on what we personally believe, whether with or without this ticketing option. So with that, I'd like to call the question.
Second. It's been a call to question. It's been a second. It's been a dissent. Okay, seeing none, I will give you a few minutes to close.
That is, if you want good speakers, fund good speakers. You know, if you want to take some risks and think of some different ways to do it that might be inconsistent for the year, you're welcome to do that. But unfortunately, it will be inconsistent for the year. $10,000 makes a big difference. Not so much for your $100,000 speakers, which is who we're trying to attract. I don't think we're ever going to actually raise the fee so much that we're going to pay for production at $100,000. However, when we try to attract those speakers, we try to use as much, you know, buying power as we can. Saying we'll give you a $40,000 scholarship versus a $50,000 scholarship, that's significant. That's a whole student. That might be two students. That might be two scholarships. That might be two donations to their own causes. That is significant. When we ask the trustee to go on our behalf and invite a speaker here for our review fee, because we're not going to afford the $150,000, $200,000 on a rare basis. we're asking them to negotiate. And the more we can give them, even $10,000 more, it's going to give them the confidence and the power to go out and take efforts and invite their friends, their connections, their network, and exercise all those If we don't, if they're not going to go, we take it $10,000, they're going to be like, you know, to do it on your own. You know, that might be embarrassing. But the more we can give them, even incrementally, I think we'll go a long way. That's where the bottom power actually comes into play.
Okay. So now we'll move on to voting. Just to make it clear for everyone, the Appropriations Committee voted to fund convocation at $775. So if you vote yes, you're voting to approve $775. If you're voting no, you're voting to disapprove $775, and then we'll be taking new recommendations. And we're going to need 15 votes for two-thirds out of the 22 present.
It can go higher or lower.
Right, yes, and it can go higher or lower.
We're not voting for anything right now.
No, okay. We're just voting on $775.
Plus the 20.
Okay, you can call again.
No.
Andrew?
Yes.
Hazel?
Pass. Yes.
No.
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 Yes.
No.
Abstain.
So by a vote of 5-15-1, the Appropriations Committee is overturned, and now we're going to open it up for new recommendations. So we can go higher or lower. And now we're going to open up the speakers list from Zion Black and Park.
Yeah, so, go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Alex is going to give some guidance.
So in this instance, what you've basically done is created a blank inside the resolution, and then what's going to happen now is that each of you can either debate or suggest a number still in the blank, and once there are no more nominations still in the blank, then you'll vote on each of them separately, and whichever one receives a majority is the one that you go with.
Yeah. So I guess really quickly, I think the best way to do it is, you know, for those of you who first come to propose numbers, throw out a number and then take a minute or two to explain your rationale. Then we'll collect them all and then we'll start debating. Yeah. Majority vote.
I'd like to suggest $8 as a total allocation. Well, I don't know if I really need a whole opinion because
everyone's
talking about it.
Son of Jenna.
I think $8 is right on. I take you two as being a competition expert, and since you guys want $8, I respect that. So, sounds good to me.
Just back.
So, I'm going to motion for the 1050 and competition ask for. I think I have the different things that we can reach, which is one of the things that I feel like I've been actually going to be going to a legitimate cause for.
Recommend 775 is what's currently at, because I know I was on the appropriations committee when that was decided, and I had a lot of good thinking went into those numbers. And I would just with the range of my time and ask BT Basil what the rationale behind 25-cent increase exactly is. A lot of people have said $8, yeah, $8, but I don't know what that 25-cent specifically is meant to go to.
Give me a minute.
Thank you.
Please do.
And I'm sorry, I forgot to send out, put the rationale in your question.
I'll propose 776.
So,
I agree with Yale organization is a huge event. And speaking from personal experience, I attend my Christmas graduation that should have never been presidential. And that was very moving, very enjoyable. My parents were left with they felt like they kind of going down, but during the event, they didn't pay for brunch that morning, they didn't pay for dinner that evening, and tickets for activity hours. So, even though they had a great speaker, just the fact that they pay the day of their daughter's graduation, they felt like they went wrong. Once again, after 10, you know, close to 2,000, 4 miles, and sisters and 10 minutes, they're still here.
Representative.
How are you?
Are there any other recommendations? So far we have $10.50, $8, $7.76, $7.75. Go ahead, Representative.
Just a question for you guys. Did you guys come up with $8? Okay, so if we had to lower the fee, at what point do you think that we'd be able to have a discussion about how we're going to use by the customers? Something lower than $10.50.
Correct me if I'm wrong, we actually did a touch marker. If we did 10.50, we would have $75,000 off of our order. If we had, $10, we would have, and then, I wish I had the chart, but I don't remember what it was. It was $10 was so much, and they jumped at $75,000 off of our order right on the top. We get us into that top tier speaker arena, and with a little bit of help, a little bit of networking, and a little bit of negotiation, we get really good reception. That's why
we
respected it.
Whenever
what? Well, and some of you are getting something to clarify. Because we did a whole talk about $1,000.
We have the package, but I don't think that has that short.
It was part of the conversation committee discussion to make this
clear. Are these
available now? Yeah.
We
are. Okay. Oh, first thing.
Those are point of information. Last year was Chris Day 750 last year.
Mm-hmm.
750 last year, do you guys know how much you guys had to offer on our area?
That's in the packet.
It is in the packet. We typically tend to try to get our area confidential, but not
confidential.
Yeah, I just, I'll go ahead and pause the question in a minute, but I just want to be very clear. This entire process of setting the student activity fee is a very, very important process. Only one assembly every 2 years gets this opportunity to do this. We have to be very, very careful because we're playing with our constituents' money. So when I hear suggestions, just throwing out how high we can go, I get very, very nervous. We have to be especially careful because we are playing with our constituents' money. If we just ask the highest number, it'll take to have a great event. That number will keep going higher and higher and higher every 2 years we let this go. So I just want to be very clear that we have a responsibility to be very serious about this. And that's why I'm completely comfortable with 775. If any of you are considering a higher vote, just think very carefully about the long-term implications. This. I'll yield to Representative Danger.
I just want to yield to Chris so that he could explain a second where the $8 came from.
Oh, from my $8?
For the 8 cents, $7.75 is the current appropriation committee decision, which has a family behind it. I understand the complications $1.50, and I understand the manager's request for $7.76. I'm just wondering where the $8 came from.
The $8 just represented an increase. Now, I guess that I'm not the unbiased chair, I'd like to go ahead and propose $8.50. I think a $1 increase representing about $13,000, most of which would go to our area, and it's more appropriate. Let me also go ahead and I'll quickly read the committee rationale that you asked for. So the Appropriations Committee decided to fund a recommended funding convocation $7.75 for the 2020-2012 final funding cycle. Many committee members felt the convocation deserves additional financial support, and most committee members believe very strongly in increasing the amount of money available for speaker honorariums. However, other committee members felt that convocation, being part of commencement weekend, is a university event deserving of strong administrative financial support. Some committee members proposed drastically reducing the student activity fee support for convocation and forcing a discussion with the administration about their level of financial support. Ultimately, the funding of $7.75 is proposed to cover the whole increase requested by convocation for the speaker honorarium. So that was the rationale presented in the committee, was that we would withdraw all our support for the logistics. If you look in the budget packet that we have in front of you, logistics for convocation amounts to, I think, what, $30,000, something like that? Yeah. But essentially, the appropriations committee rationale was that we would fund at the $75,000 level for an honorarium, but we would force the university to cover the rest. So that those conversations, I guess, led nowhere in terms of forcing the administration to assume administrative costs.
Andrew Brock. Come up, come up. Okay.
I agree with Nikhil, and we have to take a lot of things into consideration, and we have to be careful about throwing out the number, and also throwing out the Andrew's statement. No one really questioned this local condition when they asked for an increase in funding. They didn't say, oh, how much better our investment would be. And I mean, it's kind of disgusting that we're willing to freeze out of it, you know, build stuff out of it so that they can get a better art. But yeah, everyone was concerned with this issue, I guess.
Observe the other way.
I also feel like it's very difficult to start funding organizations a lot of money when we are cutting other organizations, you know, the same amount of allocation as the previous year, not even any.
Representative Pollution.
I'd like to call the question.
There's been a call to question. Is there a second?
Yeah, what about question? Voting.
Well, I guess closing, yeah, discussion. Okay, is there any dissent?
Wait, I'm sorry, could you explain that again?
So we're going to now vote from top down on the recommendations that have been proposed. And whichever one gets the majority is the one that will be allocated. Is there any dissent to the... Go ahead. Yeah, I'm going to repeat it right now. So there's no dissent, we can vote now. Yeah, okay. So $10.50, $8.50, $8.
Slow down.
$10.50 was withdrawn. Does anyone else want to recommend $10.50? Okay, so now the highest is $8.50, $8, $7.76, and $7.75.
Can you vote for if your first one fails?
Yes. Yes.
Majority.
Okay. So let's go with a hand vote.
A motion for a roll call.
Motion for a roll call.
Second.
Okay. You can go ahead and call it. This is for 8 minutes.
No. No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Absent.
Yes.
No.
No.
By vote of, were there any abstentions?
No, there's one pass.
Yeah, he voted. Okay, by a vote of 12 to 8, convocation will be allocated to 8:50. Yep. Resolution 16, expanding membership of committee, by Representative Mike Leach. You can't because it's a charter change.
What's the vote?
There's a call to question. There's a second. Is there a defense? Okay, call.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vote of 18-0-0, the resolution passes. Resolution 21, opposition to legislation A07638 by Representative Denton. Did Representative Walsh? Okay, you can go ahead and present the motion.
We're all suffering economically, and those that
Parliamentary Inquiry.
So I very much support your resolution and what it stands for, which is that beyond what you guys represent at SUNY FSA, it means that all the members of the FSA and then by virtue of the undergraduate community also is in support of not having this funding review. So I encourage a member of the FSA to move to the previous question.
Is there any call for questions or a second? Dissent? Yes. There's been a call for acclamation. Is there a second? And a second. Okay, the resolution passes. Moving on to new business, garbage cans on North Campus. By Representative Goodman, Yang, and Natalia Sweetman. This is new business, so we're going to limit our comments to questions.
This is probably one of the most top strategy this is come up from probably the organization. Basically there are a lot of transgender on North Campus, but they aren't really related to the most impacted areas walking back from the community centers and telling us to be which means
So first of all, congratulations on sponsoring this resolution. Again, this is very responsive of you guys to your constituents, and I really commend you guys for that. The second thing is, the obvious thing is, who's going to pay for this? I think the Red Light Committee has a meeting Tuesday. So if you guys, I'll make a motion to refer this to the Red Light Committee, maybe discuss it more there, and then bring it back on Thursday with, more detail or whatever.
We also speak with administrators and campus lives early next week. So this is just sort of initiative presenting any of what we have.
Okay, great. Perfect, yeah, great.
It's 6:29, I'm going to extend the meeting by 15 minutes because I asked people to come to the resolution after you guys so we can just address it right now. VPN.
Yeah, we just extended the meeting, but I guess it has to be a question. So how did you find the courage to actually do this?
Because
this has been proposed for the past 10 years probably, but congratulations.
You don't need to. Representative Denzel.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend you guys,
from Zen Design.
Yeah, I feel about something on that. I was actually just looking into Zen again. So I've been going and I talked to Kathy about 2 weeks ago. So the way to get around the funding thing that Gil talked about is that you put the trash can directly outside of the doors for the dormitories. Whoever's taking the trash towards the bottom for the entry of the floor trash can of the bathroom, you can propose them pick up the trash on their route. So that way you can have that increased funds for anyone, you can have to pay anyone extra money. Any other questions? I think some people made some valid comments, and you'll take them into account and present again next week.
Thank you. All right. So next on the agenda is the final resolution for today, which is Resolution 25, supporting the Dutch and Swedish language programs at Cornell. So I'll give the author of the resolution 2 minutes.
So useful.
So, anyone reading the Sun or Cornell Chronicles would know, or maybe you're listening to WPS, would be aware that the Swedish and Dutch programs are going to be cut for the 2010-2011 academic year. I'd like to do something about it. Some concerned students who I have on either side of the leadership of the Dutch program Cornell thought that they needed to take action to prevent this from happening. They petitioned, they reached out to the media, I reached out to them, and here we are today, and I think I'm going to let them take over.
Well, we'd just like to establish that we have a very good financial backing on this. We've been applying for grant money to support the Dutch and Swedish program in the past, almost a half now. The total cost for maintaining both programs is approximately $90,000. If we're taking 2,000, we have been able to acquire the actual statistics on that because we have to be $30,000
deduction is probably less expensive of somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000.
Before we open up for conversation, I just wanted to friendly amend the last, the final resolve, to read that the final resolve. The FAA recommends that the allocation of funding be allocated by the Inventory and Graduate Swim Test to assist the Swim Test program.
Could you repeat that?
Sure, I'll say it slower.
Sure.
Be it finally resolved that the FAA recommends the reallocation of funding from Cornell Athletics Mandatory Undergraduate Swim Test to assist the Swim Test program. And just to give the reason behind that, I think that when it comes down to it, when you think about what's more important, there's a number of people that are currently enrolled in the judging student language program that have based their entire college career on these programs, and for the university to pull them away, you know, out of nowhere, it's quite a bit, and the amount that's allocated to the student title is approximately $1,000, which would go a long way towards filling the gap between these programs. So that's the reason for my mind.
Sure, I'll open up, yeah, sure.
Just on the subject, I'm wondering why these kinds of speakers are such a huge, very not well-known language in the definition of perspective of the university. What's interesting is, obviously, Planner, a lot of programs are located in webinars, and I think the same thing goes for Swedish and Ukraine, but there are also a lot of programs in the field that provide, specifically on how well the program manages, for people to really get the best academic experience out of it. The History Department actually submitted a formal letter to the Arts and Sciences Dean requesting that the Miami Duty State, because Dutch is an integral part of the university. It was founded in 1868. It was here ever since the beginning of Cornell. And in fact, Benedict White, I believe, was he taught these languages sort of informally in an informal setting. And also, we actually went on a trip last month to New York City to celebrate the former anniversary of the founding.
30 seconds. Sorry.
You were a small reaction to the other day, and Henry Hudson was hired by the Dutch to found New York City. Dutch was part of the work. The Swedish had a smaller role in the area. And I just wanted to really put that out there, because it's a small program that definitely is very important to the university.
Great, thank you very much. First of all, so we'll go to the speakers list. This is just for questions, just raise your hand. Representative DeMonte Salt.
So, but I'm more than happy to have a conversation with you all about that. It's not a technical resolution. The main part of the resolution is the Dutch Swedish language program, but I do think that when it comes down to it, the university is not going to be able away, you know, a very basic position that's not necessary for advancement in, you know, gaining college identity. I think that, taking the case, we don't have the power to reallocate but really what that amendment that the final result is for is to say that these language programs are a central part of our university, much more than a silly tradition that has far less use than Dutch and Swedish language.
Yeah, sure. Just to address your question more specifically, so I think the FAA can make recommendations that fall under the purview or outside of this purview. So I think this is an essential to put things in bigger context, that there is money being spent on the swim sector, which is not academic. This money can potentially be used for the
30 seconds.
Yeah,
but I think we need to go to the I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. Yeah, so we can make amendments next week. Yeah. Yep. Or if you want to make a friendly amendment today, you can. But otherwise,
we'll
talk about it. Okay. All right, next on the speaker's list is Representative Glatcher. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Rabbit.
Yes, my question was this program said to implement it cost, I think it was $93,000, and it was raised all the $16,000
for production and 5 acres.
My question is, how have you raised so much money, and is there any way that you can continue raising money to build that gap?
Representative Min.
I just want to know if you're willing to discuss the meeting with the following this cost. Were you going to get more money to happen and what were the last time to cover this funding issue? And what are the changes?
Yes.
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 Okay.
Well,
we
We have four more on the speaker list, so we'll just get through the four and then adjourn for the day. Is Representative Littell?
No, I would say I'm a supporter of this. As somebody who's also in the ERS program as well as in the special student financial scope of multiple plans, I really see, some sort of economic benefit. I was wondering, I'm sorry, I don't know if this question was answered before, but have you approached any alumni about our program and anybody in particular that might be able to sponsor the university?
Yeah, undergraduate clubs are allowed to contact alumni until after they were first about to interview with the unrestricted funding that the university issues.
Thank you.
Representative Andrews, D.P. Andrews.
Yeah, I'm in complete support of this resolution, and I was just wondering, though, would you consider having a sense of body resolution and then having a funding resolution as a separate document, and so that, you know, we can, when you guys have explored, like, the different avenues, sort of the SWIM test and then maybe funding from the SA and all that stuff, like separating those two issues?
So, I think we can do a concurrent track. I have written in that the FDA would consider assisting in the funding, and by that I mean maybe putting in the money we reserve for the special project fund, which is $11,500. And I think that would require only approval from the executive committee. I'm not sure if otherwise. But, and again, for the money test, which is, yeah, I think Corey Earl needs to maybe what's the that. That's probably not going to happen because if we eliminated that in athletics, we'd only have an extra $90,000. So if there was one fund that we would be able to remove, we would do that, obviously. But I think just having it all in one place, we're obviously not going to be able to provide enough funds, but at least in the system.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
There's been a motion to adjourn. There's one more on the speaker's list.
Second.
There's a second. Okay, so there's a motion to adjourn. Second. Is there all in favor of adjourning?
Yes.
Hands up. And to all opposed? All right, this meeting is adjourned. We will bring this back next Thursday and have a vote on it.
Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.